With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru podcast. I was lucky enough to jump on the Project Blonde podcast yesterday with Aiden. You've probably seen his stuff on Instagram. If you haven't, have a look at some of his designs. They are unreal. At Blonde, BLOND.PSD. So Blonde, essentially without the E on the end. I jumped on with Aiden to talk about all things finals week one, a really deep dive into the first week of the final series in the NRL. Really enjoyed this chat. As always say, if you've got your own podcast, whether it's footy, sport, whatever it might be, and you'd like to have me on, more than willing to jump on with anyone and have a yarn. So send me a message if you are keen. Really enjoyed this chat with Aiden. Make sure you go and check out his podcast, Project Blonde, having people on every week, I believe. Really good chat. There's video content to go along with it. We had a couple of technical difficulties throughout this one, so I think I'm going to jump on again over the next week or two so we can get the video content right. But really enjoyed this chat, and I'll hand it over to Aiden now with Project Blonde.
Welcome back to another episode of Project Blonde. Today I'm here with the one and only Rugby League Guru. How you going, bro?
Yeah, good, mate. All going well. Loving the footy at the moment. Cracking week of finals, week one. Can't wait to get stuck into week two, mate. How are you travelling?
Yeah, good, bro. Good. Yeah, definitely a great week of footy, that's for sure. You know, being down in lockdown and being down in Sydney, it's some tough times at the moment, but finals footy is definitely keeping me going.
Mate, I'd be in serious Barney Rubble without some footy, I'll tell you that much. Far out.
So just to kick off, man, for those that don't know you, I know that there's a lot of people that do. You're a massive, massive person in the rugby league space and podcasting space. But just tell us a little bit about yourself, man, and how you got started.
Yeah, mate, started the page probably 2 or 3 years ago. Was right into my super coach. So started off as super coach guru and... I don't know, more and more found myself just talking general footy and got to the point, you know, where people were commenting all the time, shut up, stay in your super coach corner sort of thing. So I thought, you know what, if I'm going to talk about footy this much, I might as well expand out. Still kept the super coach side of things. Still love my super coach, but just allowed me to talk more footy as well. So transferred to Rugby League Guru and, yeah, mate, I've absolutely loved it. It's been going for about 3 years now. Started the podcast about 2 years ago, which is going sensationally. Absolutely love it, mate. Just a footy nut like yourself, like the vast majority of people that'll be tuning into this, and just creating the platform that I always sort of wanted for myself as a fan. So yeah, mate, really enjoying it. Starting to get some good traction and whatnot. So yeah, having a good time with it all, mate.
That sounds good. All right, we'll get into the first game from finals week one. Storm versus Manly. Storm obviously got up in that game 40-12. Do you just want to give us your initial take on that game and anything else?
Yeah, mate, we've been huge on the Melbourne Storm since the start of the year. We tipped them to win this premiership, and I'm more confident now than ever. This Manly team, they've been great the last few months, but, I mean, it was just boys versus men the other night. I think the Manly Seagulls, they probably gave away too many penalties, too many errors early in this game, and if you're going to give the Melbourne Storm an inch, they're going to take a mile. It's just the reality of this system. They're just too good. I felt like Cam Munster, it's like he's been treading water for the last, what feels like 6 months, essentially. But you saw his running game start to come into the piece the other night, and He's just looking so damaging at the moment. Ryan Pappenhausen, I'm sure we'll touch on him. I mean, 3 weeks ago, we were wondering if Pappy was going to ever recover, essentially. Geez, he's answered all those questions, hasn't he?
100%. I was listening to the captain's run by Cameron Smith last week with Kempe, and, you know, Kempe was just saying, you know, how do you think Manly, how do you think Storm can shut down Manly? And they just said, shut down Turbo. So although Turbo's not a one-player team, you know, there's definitely some talent there in the Manly side, but, you know, Tommy's a massive contribution to the success that they've had this year, without a doubt, and I guess that's hard to argue with that, but, you know, I think they've done a great job, you know, really, really nailing down on his plays and involvement in the game. So that's where I think, personally, Melbourne probably played their best footy over the weekend. Obviously, they had some great players themselves in attack, but just in defence, shutting down Turbo and the rest of the boys, just making them force errors. It was kind of like, you know, they were playing that good of defensive football. Manly were just, you know, throwing the ball around and essentially just playing against themselves. So.
I've never seen that. Well, I mean, in the last probably 4 months, I've never seen that Manly pack just look so irrelevant. They just could not get any momentum through the Melbourne Storm. And then Cam Munster would just handle every last tackle perfectly. He would just drop it on Turbo's head with not much room to work with. There was a couple that he sort of rolled on the ground from about 30 metres away that Turbo, he couldn't really attack. I think there was one that he knocked on as well. It was a masterclass of how to deal with these situations. And given by a team that, I mean, 09 Haim was untouchable, came up against Melbourne in that grand final, nothing. 2012 Barber was untouchable, came up against Melbourne in that grand final. Bellamy did a number on him. I think people have got to remember too, 2017, the Cowboys, Michael Morgan and Tao Malolo, they were untouchable that year once Thurston went down. They got to that grand final. I think they lost by 30 or 40 points. So they're just that sort of a football team at the moment. They are... they're just so impressive, the Melbourne Storm, and they've been able to do this for a long time. And I've got to tell you, I wasn't overly surprised that they found a way to shut down Tom Trbojevic. I wasn't sure how they were going to do it. I probably still don't have an understanding of how they did it exactly, but it doesn't shock me that they did, mate. Just that sort of a system.
Yeah, 100%. And there was obviously a bit of controversy, as there is in any rugby league game. 28th minute, Cherry Evans, you know, forward pass call for half of the hit the chalk, but that was clawed back. So I don't think, you know, it didn't impact the result, in my opinion. Obviously, you know, Melbourne went on to score a few more meat pies after that, but Melbourne are just Melbourne, man. They're just too good. Different breed.
Oh, mate, exactly. And, you know, when you're going to put that much pressure on a halfback and you're going to force him to do a two-hand tap on that's flat, no one's expecting it, sometimes you're going to get those calls go your way. I mean, you've got to give credit to Melbourne. They read that play perfectly. They pressured DCE. I mean, it probably wasn't forward, but I can understand why the referees called it that way, and it comes down to the pressure from Melbourne. I mean, the next set anyway, DCE, they had an absolute... That was a dreadful set. They had an entire set of six on the Melbourne Storm line. Tom Trbojevic didn't touch it once, and you could just see they had no structure. They were just running around, and DCE made a terrible set look good with a kick on the end of it, which... really saved their ass. So, yeah, as much as that controversial, you know, forward pass call happened, they scored the next set anyway. It was the same result. And dare I say, they didn't even deserve that at the end of that set of six. So, Melbourne, just too clinical, mate. Yeah, I mean, they did it without Brandon Smith for the majority of the game. He obviously brained him early, but you normally get huge impact from the Cheese in his second stint when he comes on and plays through the middle's third. They didn't get that. They still managed to dominate. I thought that Kama Kamika and Nelson Asafa-Solomona, they are going to be the difference this year. They haven't had them for the last few months, or the last few weeks at least. And those two coming back, once you put Cheese back into that side, his facial fracture, he's been cleared of that, so he's all good. Mate, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, no doubt about it.
Who's your impact player or man of the match for this game?
From that one, geez, Brandon Smith, he was definitely heading in the right direction. I think Pappenhausen probably for the entire game probably takes it. You could tell me Munster as well. Mate, they're one of these sides that they tend not to have one guy that stands head and shoulders above the rest. There tends to be three or four guys. Like, I thought the two edge back rowers were unreal as well, Kenny Bromwich and Felice Kafusi. They might be the most underrated two players in this competition. You look at them, you look at their stature, their skill set, and they don't compare to the kick owls, you know, the Pangai Juniors, these sort of guys, but they just do a job week in, week out. They generate meters, they bend the line. Kenny Bromwich has got a great little skill set to him as well. So, I, you know, for the first 20 minutes, I thought it was Brandon Smith that blew him away. I think he laid on two. That pass he threw to Christian Welsh was unbelievable. A great line by Welsh as well. Courageous line. Man, imagine running that line into the inside shoulder of Marty Tapau. No, thank you. Miss me with that.
It just looked like no one wants to touch Welsh. He just went over.
Yeah.
Easy. Right. But, yeah. Anyway, right, moving on to game two. You know, as I said, it's rugby league. It's going to be controversy. But obviously, Roosters won 25-24. I know you're a big fan of Victor Radley, so he was the man to start it off for you with getting a very similar result to Parramatta yesterday. You know, tackle without the ball as he's going to, you know, pick up the ball and score a try. But the result in this one actually went the opposite way to Parramatta. This was a no try, Peachy turn in the bin. What were your thoughts on that, man? Do you think it was, you know, a penalty try or?
I didn't think it was a penalty try just because you can't be. For me to give a penalty try, I need to be 100% sure that he's going to catch that ball, he's going to put it down. It was likely he was going to, but you can't be 100%, which is why I thought the penalty try later in the weekend was a little bit controversial. I think it's that word that we always come back to in the NRL, consistency, that always worries me. I wouldn't have given Radley, as much as I love the bloke and I had him as an anytime try scorer, I wouldn't have given it a try. I would have gone with the Symbian. I think they made the right call there. They did mess it up later, though. But I'll tell you what, the Titans, you have a look at those 24 points they scored. I mean, there was a rebound kick. There was the one where Ikavalu knocked it on coming off his own line. I mean, has there ever been a worse team that have like hung in the contest in a finals game? I felt sorry for Patrick Kerr, but everyone's bagging him. But fuck, I don't think they deserve to play finals footy this year with a record of 10-14. And two, I don't think they deserve to be anywhere near the Roosters in that game.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I thought the Roosters had them for probably the first 50, and then Titans just started slowly creeping back in. But, you know, again, They weren't really set plays, to be honest. Like, a lot of them were off, you know, errors. Ikavalu dropping it and going straight into the hand, and then, you know, going over for a meat pie for the Titans. But I just think you know, 50 minutes on, there was some errors from the Roosters that led to, you know, obviously Titans conceding some points. But in terms of Sam Walker, though, man, I think Roosters, I really respect the way that they're heading with him, the direction that they're going in. Obviously, he's still quite a small build, and similar to myself as well. I'm not the biggest bloke out there. I don't play rugby anymore, but you know, I would have loved for the coach to say, you know what, we'll bring you on it, you know, when we need you the most. And Sam Walker, man, like, to be a rookie this year, to step up in those big moments, it's crazy. Like, people think, you know, oh, it's just a field goal. You know, any team can do this at any time. It's finals footy, as I said before. It's a different ball game. And for Sam Walker just to be so composed the way that he is, that's scary.
Oh, he's, man.
Yeah, definitely got some.
It's terrifying, yeah, how right, Sam Walker is. He is. People forget, he didn't play rugby league last year. I mean, he has missed a key year of development when he's 17, 18, and he's coming to first grade in a team that. That's the other thing. I mean, Sam Walker had limited time in the preseason as the starting halfback, but the limited time he did have, he had Boyd Cordner outside him. He had Lindsay Collins. He had Jake Friend. He had all these superstars that are now gone when he's walked in, and he's been just as successful as what he probably would have been with them. It's incredibly impressive what Walker's doing. And there was a moment there in the back end of that game where he actually missed the tackle on Beauformer, and he chased him down, and he did make that tackle, which was a good effort. But, geez, I'll tell you what, it could have been a very different narrative if he doesn't chase him down. I think if those two just run straight instead of crossing over each other, you go from Sam Walker being the hero to potentially being the villain conceding that try. But I think he deserves that moment of the field goal. And, yeah, as you said, people say, oh, it's just a field goal. Mate, take yourself down to the park and try and kick a field goal, then try and kick a field goal with 100.
And have a whole team of blokes running out.
Mate, fuck, it's a tough gig. People undervalue that skill set unbelievably.
Yeah. Speaking about different narratives, we did speak before about Herbert and his you know, no pass. I think if you put in Tafita's hand, sorry, or Thompson's hand, that's Rooster's season over, basically. I know, you know, you mentioned before the Titans' record this year, they probably didn't deserve to make the eight. I did think that, you know, what we saw in the second half from them, from the 50 minute onwards, You know, it's hopeful for next year. You know, if you were a Titans fan, you know, you should be extremely proud of the way that they did make the eight. I know obviously there was a massive margin between, you know, the bottom eight and the top eight, but yeah, I just think there's some promising signs there for Titans. I think, you know, young Jaden Campbell, I think he's a weapon. I think he plays a pretty different ball game to his dad, to be honest. I think, you know, if we compare it to boxing, you know, you've got Tim Zhu and his dad. Everyone just says, oh, you know, you wouldn't be as good as you are without your father and stuff. But, you know, these boys are making a name for themselves. Tim Zhu is making a name for himself. And, you know, you are a family heirloom and you are carrying that last name. But I think, you know, Jaden Campbell's just making a statement for his own. So it's good to see some promising signs there.
I think it's the biggest myth of all time that sons of guns have an easy ride through. I think it puts a heap more pressure on them, to be honest with you. I mean, I had Jackson Hastings on the podcast, obviously the son of Kevin Hastings, and mate, he said it was just hell. It was, everyone was comparing him to him, and even when he was successful, people would just say, oh, it's because he's Kevin's son. Like, it's a hard balance to get right. I know people think that it's a cakewalk if you're someone's son, but geez, there's a lot of challenges that come along with it that I think a lot of these guys handle incredibly well. And I love what Jaden Campbell's doing at the moment. The way that he just attacks the footy on every single play is unreal. And the thing that stands out for me with Jaden Campbell is that, I mean, he's not a teenager that's come in and he's playing really good footy against the shit teams. He shows up against the best teams. I mean, he's played Melbourne twice this year.
Yeah,
and he'd have to be top three players on the field against Melbourne in both those games for me. I mean, he is just a real goer, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's some, as I said, there's some promising signs there, not only for Campbell and his career ahead of him, but just the Titans in general, man. Like, I think if, you know, they've got Tino in this year, it's time for Fida. You know, again, it's controversy, but whether Fida should be on that money, I say to that, like, sometimes players ask for it, but if, you know, Titans are willing to play and they're playing for it, then that's their decision as a club. So, you know, you can't bag a guy just trying to go out and get it if a club's willing to accept it. So, yeah, that's my take on Fida. But in terms of the impact of this game...
I completely agree with you. It's funny in rugby league how often we blame the player. I mean, if someone puts a heap of money in front of you, of course you're going to sign it. Oh, I can't believe how fans try and pin the players for this stuff. Like, I mean, you have a look at the Dragons and Ben Hunt. I love Ben Hunt. Would I pay him $1 million a season? Not a hope in hell, but why am I yelling at Ben Hunt for that? What, like, why aren't people pointing the fingers at the clubs, the people that actually write these contracts? Like, how can you put the person that signs it at more responsibility than the person that writes it? It's so backwards.
You know, as much as we love the game of rugby league, like, it is a business, you know. Yep. Clubs, you see it all the time. We saw it with Tevita this year. The Broncos just say, you know what, start looking elsewhere. They can turn around and just do that. They've you know, Tarek Sims with the Dragons, he wanted to sign a long-term deal and be their, you know, long-form forward for the club, and, you know, told him to pack his bags and look elsewhere. So, you know, players, they need to take care of themselves as well, man. Like, if someone's going to throw $1 million at me to play, like, you're going to take it. So you're not going to say, oh, you know, I think I'm only worth $600K, fucking give me that instead.
And, mate, it's funny, when it goes the other way, for example, the Parramatta Eels, they're geniuses because they've got Isaiah Papali'i on $400K because they signed him unders. The club, what a masterstroke, well done. But if you sign someone for overs, it's the faults put on the player. It's just, it's crazy, mate. It just, the more you think about it, the less it makes sense, essentially.
Yeah. So I've got I couldn't quite pick one player for this game, for the Titans and Roosters game. So I've got Jared Wallace, James Tedesco and Radley. They're my top three for this one. You know, I think Wallace with that intercept, I don't know if he was expecting it, but he got it. So it was good to see. It didn't quite have the legs on him as expected, but yeah, it was great to see. And, you know, he obviously got the Ikevalu try, he went over as well. So yeah, sparked a bit of life into that second half for the Titans, I think.
Oh, mate, for sure. To be honest with you, at the start of this year, I thought Jared Wallace was, you know, heading on his way out of the NRL, to be honest with you. But this year, he's just gone to another level once again. He's gone back to playing that sort of style of football that saw him play State of Origin. The other two you mentioned, Radley and Teddy, I said on my Instagram, I think this is the most underrated combo in rugby league. I know people are aware that they're both good players, but they lift each other up to a whole new level when they're both on the field. And I think it's probably got to do with the amount of time that Radley spends off the field realistically. I think people forget just how dangerous these two are. But, I mean, they almost set up the first one, that controversial one that got Peachy sin-binned. They had a hand in their first try, both of them, and then Radley put Tedesco over for another one of their tries. I mean, they only scored four tries. That was three tries between the two of these blokes. I mean, they are just... they're something else, these two. I like, and of course, they're best mates off the field. And for me, that stuff really matters. It just adds another little layer to that combo. You look at Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai. They've had years of time spent together. It's the same as anything. You spend hours upon hours with guys off the field. You get to know them. You get to understand them better, and it pays dividends on the field. And Radley and Teddy, they're a classic example to me.
Yeah, even with Radley. At the start of the game, you know, he went down and he was grabbing at that shoulder, and I was like, shit, man, like, this could be bad. And he gets up, and minutes later, you know, puts Teddy over for a meat pie. So, just exceptional. You know, Teddy's Teddy. We all know what to expect from him. And, you know, there's his whole, is Turbo better than Teddy? You know, I wouldn't argue with you if you said that he was, but you have to remember, Teddy has won a grand final. He's got Daly M. And, you know, Turbo, you know, he's had an exceptional year, and he's been compared to, you know, Kane 09, Barber 2012. But, you know, Teddy's just consistent. Like, all around the park, he's been consistent since he's been in the game, really. Especially at Roosters, obviously. There's a bit of stuff with the Tigers that went on in the past. But, you know, since he's found a home at Bondi, he's just the consistent king, in my opinion. So, I don't think... you know, he hasn't gotten worse as a player, and Turbo shot up past him or anything like that. I just think he's just, everyone's used to what he does now. So,
yeah, mate, that's the other thing. I mean, I love Trbojevic. I think he's had the best season ever, but he hasn't stood up in a finals game yet. And Tedesco has done it time and time again, as has Radley. I think people forget with Radley that if it wasn't for, you know, the injury last year and then the suspension this year, he would have played six games of Origin. And mate, tell me, from what you've seen of Victor Radley, has there ever been a player that is more suited to State of Origin than Victor Radley? Like, if he had six games under his belt, I reckon he would just be considered so much higher than what he is. And I have no doubt that if you put Radley and Cam Murray in the same team, mate, Cam Murray gets pushed to the edge straight away, and he'd be unreal out there, no doubt about it. But Radley at 13, he's just a different beast.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with the result from the weekend. As I said, that pass, if it gets through, probably, you know, writes a different narrative for the Roosters season. But, you know, it is what it is. We can't stay on that for too long. And you know, obviously there was some frustration said from Thompson. You're gonna get that. It's finals. You know, he put up a story after, and he goes, "I love you, brother. Like, it's all good. Like, I'm sorry," or whatever. It's passionate football. Like, you're going to get frustrated in these moments. So, anyway, moving on to game three, we had Penrith Panthers versus South Sydney Rabbitohs. Rabbitohs ended up sneaking away with the upset of 16-10. Something that we never saw coming. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, did not see this coming at all. And this is why I thought Friday night was going to be the most important game of the season, because it was going to put the losing team out of Melbourne and Manly on the side of the Panthers. This competition's been turned on its head now. I gave South Sydney very little hope, and I've heard about it from each and every one of them this weekend, which is fair enough. But, mate, for South Sydney to win this game, and the most impressive, obviously they've done it without Latrell. We all know that narrative. But more impressive to me, they played the full 80 minutes. They haven't done that at all this year. They haven't been able to do it. And, I mean, you got to remember as well, you know, Penrith scored the first try in about the fifth or sixth minute. They were down early. When you concede early to Penrith, mate, it's hard to build yourself back up. So to see South Sydney do what they did, incredible. I still don't think it's the best of South Sydney. I still think they can play better. Like, the Penrith Panthers had opportunities as well. They just didn't count. They look a little bit rattled to me. Paul Kent, he said that they're done and dusted. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but geez, they definitely look a little bit rattled to me. I was very surprised by the Panthers' performance, and you know, old Wayne Bennett in his press conference, he's done an absolute special on Ivan Cleary this week. He's paying rent in his head. So I think Cleary just got done by the best, just quietly.
Yeah. Who was it? I think it was Gus Gould put up that thing, the movie poster of Progress, and then like Choker coming this week in cinemas now. Look, Penrith aren't a bad team, and I definitely wouldn't rule them out because of this.
Yep.
You know, I was watching NRL rap last night, and they were kind of just riding off Penrith already, which I think is ridiculous. Really, you got Parramatta that they're coming up against. I'm a Parramatta supporter, man, and you know, I just don't think that they even have the squad yet, to be completely honest with you. And that's me being non-biased. I'd love to say, you know, oh, we're going to be, you know, premiers this year and the year after and the year after that. But I don't think they've got the squad yet. And, you know, they go quiet in some games, let's be honest. They're not the consistent Melbourne Storm or the Penrith Panthers that we do see. But, yeah, I think Penrith get it done with Parra this week. And gives them a bit more confidence and kind of helps them forget about the loss to the Rabbitohs. So, but Blake Taff, man, wow.
Oh, mate.
Wow.
He is a real talent. I was very nervous for him. I'm not going to hide away from that, but he was incredibly impressive. And I have no doubt whatsoever that part of the thinking of letting Adam Reynolds go is because they have got a guy like him in this side. And I think for the vast majority of people that have only seen him play first grade, he's always played fullback. He's actually been a halfback coming through. So I think he's going to play a really important role moving forward for this side. I'm not saying he will be the halfback, but I think he's going to have a bit of a different role moving forward. I mean, you've got to remember as well, like, as impressive as Taff is, what are they going to do next year when Latrell walks back into this side? I mean, does Taff become the 7? Is he the 14? Do they move Latrell to centre? I don't know. It's...
I think maybe, you know, obviously, if we have a look at Cameron Smith, he had Harry Grant and the Chiefs coming through, and, you know, he made the responsible call that his time was over. As much as I'd hate to see Ben Jura retire from the game because he's been, you know, such a great player and such a big contribution to NRL, I think, you know, he's a humble enough guy to step down and let some of these younger boys through. So, you know, when Trell comes back, I think you can maybe expect Blake Taff in the halves with Walker. But, yeah, 6 NRL games, man, and to step up in finals like that, like one try assist, 113 metres, 18 runs, like, it's nuts.
Yeah, and I think the thing that stood out for me is that he made an early mistake and he bounced back from it. I mean, could you imagine the head noise? Mm. All he's heard all week is people saying, you're going to drop Cleary's balls all over the place, and he did. And he bounced back from it. That's unreal to me. I think it's going to be interesting with Taff over the next few years. As you said, I'm assuming Benji will retire. Taff jumps into the 14. I would imagine there's going to be a heap of clubs that are going to want to try and get Blake Taff's signature. And you've got to remember, if he's considering leaving next year or the year after, Wayne Bennett's not the coach anymore. It's Demetrio. So for me, I don't know. I think they're going to find it hard to convince Taff to stay at this club to wear jersey 14. If he's not going to get the fullback role, if he misses out on the 7 jersey, he's a guy that they could potentially lose just out of circumstance, which would be terrible. But, I mean, that's the price you pay for success and having young guys that are really talented in this footy side. So very interesting to watch moving forward, though, South Sydney. And obviously Dane Gagai's leaving, so, I mean, do you play Latrell at centre? I don't know. I think he's been too good to move out of fullback, but trying to fit all these guys into the one team, it's going to be difficult.
100%. Obviously, as you spoke about before, you know, Rabbitohs flipped this entire competition on its head. I remember a couple of months ago, it was kind of just a Panthers and Storm race. You know, here's the grand final rematch on the cards, and then it was kind of almost certain it was on the cards, and Manly kind of stuck in. Rabbitohs lost Trell, they kind of ruled Rabbitohs out. So I think, you know, South have just done, you know, the fans of rugby league a great justice here. Although we would have loved to see a grand final rematch from last year, it's I think now the pressure's really on. We're going to see who's the fittest of them all and come out on top. So,
and mate, I think like if you look at the Manly Seagulls now, far out, it might not be a bad thing to lose week one of the finals now. Like, granted, I still don't want to underrate South Sydney, don't get me wrong, but fuck, give me South Sydney over Penrith in a prelim final any day of the week. And then if you do manage to win that, you take on the Melbourne Storm or the Panthers, who have just played each other. They're going to have to play 2 grand finals in a row to win this competition now. So it's...
Pretty much.
Right.
I have Cameron Murray, the impact player. I think he's, you know, part of par with Bradley. You know, they're both just, their intensity wise, they're just on another level. You know, they're always in big plays. And, you know, they're creating games that people want to watch. Like, obviously, most people are going to want to watch Penrith and take on South Sydney in the finals, but having people like Cam Murray show up and just create this whole level of intensity and just inspire the boys to push forward and get the upset. It's what you want to say. So Cameron Murray had 18 runs, 144 run meters, 55 post contact meters, 2 tackle breaks, and 33 tackles. Like, numbers are just, they're all double digits except for the tackle breaks. Obviously, you know, forwards are there to just mark their territory on the defensive line. But yeah, big effort there from Cam Murray. And you know, it was hard to split these ones for me. I was looking at all the players. I was rewatching some of the highlights as well, just to try and make my decision easier. And it wasn't easy, you know. The Rabbitohs boys just turned up as one team, and that's what I think Wayne kind of put his intentions to. They just said, you know, back each other. If you want to run, you know, we saw Dan Gagai make that line break down the side, and someone was there on the inside just supporting him. There's nothing worse than seeing, you know, one of your outside backs make a break, and or even in the middle of the field, and no one's there. So it just seems like the Rabbitohs boys turned up for each other.
Mate, it's the old the best 13 always beats the 13 best, isn't it? It's just what Wayne Bennett's built his whole career around. I think Cam Murray, as you said, like, you just read out his stats, and you know, when you think about those sort of stats this year, you normally look at the score sheet and it's 40-10. Mate, it was 16-10 in this game. Like, to have the impact mm-hmm. that he did on this game was incredible. I thought Jaden Sewer, he's obviously leaving at the end of the year, but I thought he was great in this game. I think Wayne Bennett's gone off him a little bit this year, but he compared him to Tony Carroll at the end of last year. And, mate, Tunza was tough as nails and a proper leader. And for some of those shots that Sewer put on Penrith the other night, teams just haven't been doing that to them for the last 18 months. I thought he was massive. I think he'll be a decent little signing for the Dragons. I thought Tom Burgess as well, he's had his best season in years. I thought he had cans for hands for the last 3 years. It was hard to watch sometimes, but he has improved out of sight this year. So, mate, credit to Wayne. Once again, you have a look at this forward pack on paper, and it shouldn't really compete against these top sides. I mean, this Penrith mob's got Tevita Pangai Jr. and Liam Martin coming off the bench. Like, what is that? You know, that's that if you offered South Sydney Tevita Pangai Jr. and Liam Martin, they're in the starting second row. But Wayne Bennett, he just gets the very best out of his side consistently. He's very, very good at what he does, isn't he?
Very, very good. But moving on to the next game. Last game was great. Panthers Rabbit, as I said. You know, now because Penrith have lost and Parramatta have won this game against the Knights, winning 28-20. You know, it's going to be a tough ask for Parramatta to try and, you know, I thought they just, it was pretty even in my opinion. I thought Eels maybe, you know, led the game a little bit better against the Knights yesterday, just by a fraction. Like, they weren't very convincing in my opinion, and I'm a diehard Parra fan, but I think they're going to, you know, struggle this weekend against Penrith Panthers. So, but yesterday, you know, I thought they both played pretty well. You know, there's a few errors here and there. I thought in the first half, you know, Parra weren't really, second half, Parra were, you know, up at Knights try line and they were just coughing away opportunities, like just simple errors, just passing the ball, just dropping it, dropping it all these cold. So, you know, I thought it was a forwards defensive game for sure. You know, you had the Saifidi brothers, Nathan Brown, Junior Paulo, which might be suspended as well for some pretty big shots. But I thought Moses as well. You know, there's some big talk around him in the big games. You know, we saw him in Origin, and then he picked up that spinal injury as well. So I think, you know, I thought he adjusted this game. I thought, you know, once they started playing more of a team role rather than individual role, you know, Moses kind of just let loose. He started running the ball more. You know, that amazing try where he just cut through the defensive line and pounces over the try line. You know, I think he's getting to the stage now where he's able to handle those bigger games and stuff, and the pressure doesn't weigh on his shoulders as much as it usually has in the past.
Mate, if I was coaching Mitch Moses, I would say to him, you need to run at least 8 times. I want to see you run at least. I don't care if you get whacked. I don't care if you go for negative meters. He just needs to be running. It's when he's playing his best footy, when he's confident, when he's smiling, when he's taking the line on. I mean, that try that he scored the other night, the other afternoon, I mean, like, it's not like he beat a slob in front of him. That was David Clemmer he beat. He was a Kangaroos front rower a couple of years ago. Mitch, when he's confident, there's not many guys better than him. And I thought the game that he played on the weekend was unbelievable. I was so impressed with him. As you said, he played Origin this year. A lot of people bagged him. The reality is, if he would have won, lost, drawn that game, it doesn't matter. People are still going to bag Mitch Moses. Unfortunately, we have these guys in rugby league that it doesn't matter what they do, they're going to get bagged. Sowie was the same. Finchie was the same. We're always going to have these guys. And Mitch Moses can do whatever the hell he wants. It's going to be very hard for him to shake that tag, unfortunately. It's a bit like his opposing halfback, Mitch Pearce. Like, people, it's taken 12 years of really solid first grade from Mitch Pearce for people to go, okay, maybe it's not all his fault sort of thing. I think Mitch Moses is going to be very similar. I thought he was very impressive. I love this center that you guys have got, Will Pennicini. I think he's going to be an absolute star. He is a weapon. And, you know, you saw all those highlights of Joseph Suaalii coming through, and I remember sitting there watching it, and mate, Pennicini was the bloke that was putting him through all these holes. And I remember watching and just going, fuck, who is that kid that's giving him the ball? Like, yeah, Suaalii was unbelievable, but this Pennicini, he is really special. And I think people forget he's only played 3 or 4 first grade games as well. So, mate, there's so much upside in so many of these kids. Him playing his first ever finals game. And marking up against Bradman Best too. I mean, on his day, Bradman Best is one of the premier centres in our game. And Pennicini just did a number on him. I mean, it wasn't even close, to be honest with you, that contest, which I think says the absolute world about him. A very, very impressive performance. I thought Regan Campbell-Gillard coming back, he was massive as well. He really took it to the Saifidi brothers. He's a guy. I remember as the game kicked off, I was talking to one of my mates who really knows his footy, and I said, oh, what do you think of Regan Campbell-Gillard? Like, would you describe him as a really good first grade prop, or like a representative prop? And he said, mate, he's not a rep prop, but he's probably the very best of just your first grade sort of props. And then he just went out and just whacked everyone inside. It was a very impressive performance from him. And I didn't think he'd have that much impact, to be perfectly honest with you. But it's also the different body shape he brings. You got Nathan Brown, who's just like a little nugget, but tough as nails. Then you got Junior Paulo, just this big juggernaut. Then you got Regan Campbell-Gillard, who's just all legs and knees, and it makes it really hard to tackle 3 different body shapes like that consistently. I know that's something that I hear a lot of the first graders talk about, that when you've got, you know, if you had 3 junior Paulos, as much as they're big and they're tough, you get used to tackling those body shapes. Whereas if you get a set of 6 where you've got 3 different body shapes coming at you, it can be a nightmare. The only thing I worry about with the Eels, and I couldn't understand why Isaiah Papali'i and Ryan Madison weren't in the starting team. That really blew me away.
For me, Ryan Madison, you know, he turns up on some games, and, you know, I rate him as a player for sure, but I think, you know, Papali'i, like, that's crazy talk not to put him in. I think Sean Lane is probably his person I would switch with. Sean Lane hasn't been that impressive for me this year. He's copped a few screams at the TV on my end, but I just think, you know, Sean Lane, he's more of that. He's got a tall build on him. He's pretty lanky as well. Like, he's a little bit solid, but more lanky than anything. And I think, you know, if you bring him on later in the game, you know, and Moses is putting up a chip over, you know, over the try line for Newcastle, and you need someone to jump up and grab it, Sean Lane's your boy. So, and, you know, the forwards aren't going to jump when they're exhausted. So, you know, that's how I'd probably utilise Sean Lane, to be honest. But, yeah, not starting probably. I think he's, you know, it's arguably that I think, you know, he's our best forward this year. He's having a sensational season. But, you know, Mitchell Moses, coming back to him, you know, he's probably my impact player. He's probably played the best I've seen him in a couple of weeks, couple of months. But, you know, I thought later in that first half, that's when his kicking game started to, you know, find rhythm and you know, he started to take more control of the game. And he was putting a lot of pressure to keep the Knights boys, you know, in their half, let alone in front of their trial line. So, yeah, it's Mitch Moses for me. I think even when those grubber kicks are going into the in goal area, like he was kicking him, and he was the first one making the tackles to keep him there. So you just saw like the screams and the celebrations after every play that he was making, and he was just building up the team. You know, as for Ponga as well, I think he had a pretty decent game. You know, those cutout balls are deadly, man. He's definitely someone to keep a close eye on when it comes to, you know, doing the cutout ball to his winger. So, but yeah, Moses had one try assist, 15 runs, 145 run meters. So he was my man of the match. So what about you, man? Are you on Tennessee or?
No, I'd still go Mitch Moses, mate. And I think, you know, I watched Mitch Moses play a lot of footy when he was growing up. He came through in the Balmain system, and he was just always the best player in that age group. But, you know, it'd be the chip over the tops, it'd be the no-lookers, it'd be the cutout. It'd always be the big highlight play, but it'd always work for him. And sometimes I think that's a massive curse when you come into first grade, that you can't be doing that stuff all the time. And Mitch started his career, everything was the chip over the top. It was the cutout, it was the no-looker. And over the last 2 years, he's really matured and really developed into a halfback. And I noticed you said the key word about three or four times, and it's pressure. He's able to build pressure now, whereas Mitch Moses grew up playing footy where he didn't have to build pressure. He could just... I've always said, like, it's a massive curse when you're the guy that has the big play in him, because you always want to go for the big play. And most of the time when you're a junior, you'll get away with it. But once you get up to first grade and it's against coaches and teams that know how to defend that sort of stuff, it's about building pressure. It turns into a game of chess all of a sudden. And, mate, I love the development of Moses over the last 18 months. I think it's been unreal. I think he deserved his Origin debut. I think if it was a decider, I would have gone with Adam Reynolds or someone like that. But I think it was a great experience for Mitch Moses. And I think he's going to be better for the run. Do I think he's going to come out and blame the Panthers this week? Probably not. Like, it's still part of his development to go to that next level. But to own a finals game, and I think this is something that people are like, oh, it's just the Knights. It's like, yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, he's still moving in the right direction. Everyone takes these steps. Some people do it in, you know, a completely different manner. Some guys can come in and do this when they're 21. Some guys, they develop later when they're 28, 29. And Mitch Moses, he's one of those guys. I really like what I'm seeing from him at the moment, though, mate. It's good to see.
Yeah, 100%, man. I think, you know, someone was saying, I think it might have been Ice from Mike SDR. He's like, you know, the only way that, you know, if you look at someone like the Bulldogs, the only way he is up. Obviously, Para are in that top eight conversation and potentially top four. Who knows? But you know, I think we're moving in the right direction. I think Brad Arthur, you know, even when we look at Mitch Moses, you know, he came in. I think it might have been, was it 2017? Moses came in.
I think it was halfway through. Yeah, 2017,
So he came in, and I think they might have finished still maybe down the bottom that year, but the year after, you know, they were making some moves and climbing their way up the ladder. So, you know, I think Brad Arthur's a dedicated coach. I think the boys have a really strong relationship with him. But probably my biggest heartbreak, probably more so if Power lost yesterday, obviously that would have broke my heart, that Connor Watson leaving Newcastle, man. It's a tough 2-5-7 heartbreak to take that one.
Oh, mate, it must be... The word you use, heartbreaking, it must be heartbreaking for Newcastle. I mean, considering everything with Connor Watson, how well he's played up there, that he's got this roaming 13 role, that he's best mates with KP, that he's got the podcast he does every week with him, he's got his own little small business up there, and he's still left. The Knights must be just be sitting there going, fuck it. Like, I mean, I keep saying it, and people keep saying, no, it's ridiculous, but would it surprise you if in 18 months, Kalyn Ponga and Mitch Pearce weren't there either? I don't know. The optics just aren't good, and it seems to be, you know, Tex Hoy, he's fallen out of favour as well. Hey, mate, he was a superstar coming through. Phoenix Crossland, all that we heard about was Phoenix Crossland last year. He's fallen off the side of the earth as well, so it's a very... I feel like there's a little bit more going on at Newcastle than... what we're getting an understanding for.
Yeah, and you know, you're getting, you know, media's media, they're going to spin in all different directions, but you're getting reports that, you know, Ponga doesn't want to go anywhere. He's shut down the idea of union. So I don't know. I think, and the reason being, he wants to stick around to win a premiership with Knights, but something's got to change, man. Like, although they made the top eight this year, I don't know, they weren't that convincing either, in my opinion. Like, I think they were the third worst attacking team in the comp. So if you want to win a premiership, I think, you know, Caelan might eventually refer to the numbers and work out, you know, if there's actually a future there at the Knights. So, you know, it would be interesting to see him, you know, who knows, Papenhuyzen might get an offer that he can't refuse and move on, and, you know, Melbourne might pick up Ponga, and I hate to see that happen because, you know, Ponga's already as good as he is, but I hate to see him in, like, a, you know, an 18 side. So, yeah, so that's pretty much a wrap on today, man. Thank you so much for, obviously, you know, sitting down with me and having a chat and going through this, you know, week one preview. I really appreciate it, man.
Nah, I thoroughly appreciate you having me on, mate. Really enjoyed it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Deep dive there into finals week one. Cannot wait for finals week two. What are you tipping in those games, mate? We've got the Western Sydney Derby, your boys, Parramatta, Penrith. Who are you taking? Take your Parramatta cap off and tell me, by the way.
Look, you told me at the start of this podcast that, you know, you don't support a team and that leads you to not being biased. And, you know, I'm a Parramatta supporter through and through, but if I'm facing reality and you know, being honest with myself, I think, you know, after Penrith, their loss last week, I think they get the job done this week against Parra.
Yeah. And are we both going Manly or what?
I'd take Manly over Roosters, I think. There is a potential upset on the cards, but I listened to Daly Cherry Evans's media conference this morning, and he just said, you know, we've had a chat about things, we've looked over the game. It's, and someone said, oh, is it, you know, harder to look at because it's the finals game? Yes, look, mate, to be honest, not really. Like, you know, a loss is a loss. We just got to take it with a grain of salt, get better and move on and you know, with the challenge ahead for this week against the Roosters. So, look, I'm going to take Manly in this one. I don't think Roosters can do as good as a job at, you know, copying how Melbourne was shutting down Tommy. Yeah, maybe if they had all their star players in, who knows what can happen. Like, Kiri, I know, is a massive out for them. They've had some boys retire this year. But, yeah, I'm taking Manly on that one, man.
Yeah, no, I think I'd have to go the same as you, mate. But thanks for having me on, mate. I really do appreciate it. Love what you're doing as well, mate. Some of your designs are insane. And the rate that you're tuning them out to, very, very impressive, mate.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, just trying to stay consistent with it. I love rugby league, love designing, so it's doesn't feel like I have to, you know, pressure myself to release anything, but it's good fun.
Mate, you're preaching to the choir, don't worry about that.
Thanks, brother.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.